And welcome everybody to Overtime here on YouTube. I think I made it. Kyle, are you here?
Yeah, okay. Technically.
I can hear the fan from Robin Dilo out there in Queens.
Yes.
Yes.
Our fan made it, and so did we.
We have a fan too, you know. We turned ours off.
We have an AC, and it is keeping us sentient at the moment.
Uh-huh. All right, well, you know, comfort is important. I guess, oh, we have so few listeners. Why is that? Did we drive everybody away with the constant pitching, asking people to support the radio station? I hope not, because supporting the radio station is super important.
I think they're all signing up for their WBAI Buddy program.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Maybe they're all on the phone. Maybe that's it.
They're picking out thank you gifts.
Well, all right. Does anyone have anything they'd like to add to what they were saying on the radio station?
Just this has been such a ride to be part of, both as a listener and as a producer. I could tell my story. I was a listener to the station for long before I met you guys or anyone else involved with it. Listen to Off the Hook, listen to lots of other shows. My old analog boombox radio that I had, which was not very good, had its round, analog tuning knob and antenna pointed just perfectly so it could get BAI in. And I didn't often move either of those things because just there was so much to listen to on BAI. And I also, around the turn of the millennium, had a job running an arcade in a shopping mall out on Long Island, which no longer really exists. And
actually, I drove past it the other day, Rob. it's called Adventureland, isn't it?
No, it was a bit smaller than that. It was the arcade in the Sunrise Mall in Massapequa,
which is
a dead mall nowadays, completely dead. But I ran the arcade. I was the manager there, and I had, nothing else to do, sitting around doing job stuff. But also, I had a radio in there, and every Wednesday, I and the rest of the arcade was listening to Off the Hook. I think I called in once or twice from there. Also, just people would wander in, play video games like you do in an arcade, and some of them would hang out and listen along to the show and ask me, what is this? They're talking about this stuff on the radio? This is hacker stuff. Are they allowed to do that? And it was a fun ride. And, eventually when I did start getting involved with the conference and other stuff, and eventually with this program, it was just, it was such a fun ride, and I met so many great people, you guys included, but others at the station, people who worked with us, people who worked behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, on the mics. Comes to mind Robert Knight, very sadly no longer with us, was such a great guy to just hang out with and speak to in the lobby before showtime. And he was usually there.
Introducing Robert Knight to Julian Assange when Julian came to our radio show. And it was just, what a conversation they had. It was a kind of magical place. When I was talking about, how it was the most interesting room in the city, I wasn't kidding. There were so many interesting people that wandered through just in the course of the day.
Absolutely. And just those friendships behind the scenes and on the mic have been some of the greatest of my life. And I'm eternally grateful for the station as, for all that it's held, for all the position that it's held in my personal life, but also just as a source of radio, as a source of information, as a source for community and organization and all the great stuff that comes with a station that is like no other radio station, I think, that you can have, at least in this city.
Very true, very true. And imagine, other places, too, where radio is just, not every frequency is filled. There's a lot of empty space. I dare say you'd be hard-pressed to find any kind of non-commercial radio representation simply because there aren't a lot of people. For that, I think the Internet is a godsend because you can simply tune to another station. We were listening to the radio station over at Burning Man in the last few days because they have a radio station. I guess they got a frequency or something, 94.5. And there, we can hear the whole crisis unfolding right there on the radio, but on the Internet. And it's fascinating to listen to. That's something that we didn't have the ability to do a couple of decades ago. But now we can reach out and hear the more interesting voices or things that go along with monumental events. And I hope people are doing that with WBAI. I hope people are tuning in from all around the world.
If I could just drop in a note from YouTube, thank you to listener MK, who shares with us that, E, you need to turn your mic up a little bit because you're harder to hear than any of the rest of us.
I don't know how it can go any louder. If I go louder, I'll be distorting. There's something with YouTube, I think, right? Is it just me?
I will check that.
According to the levels I'm looking at, my levels are the same as everyone else's. Boy, you know, sometimes radio is too much. Was there an issue, Kyle?
Everything looks about normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It may be that in some cases it's a directional thing. Sometimes we're reading things. Sometimes, but we'll take a look at the
talking directly into the microphone.
The configuration, yeah.
Can't get any more direct than this.
I just checked in on what we sound like on YouTube, and you do sound, you do sound a little lower in volume than the rest of us, but you are still hearable.
Well, then I'm going to push through the tape that Kyle put on the
you're blaming
the fader
my
here.
Tape?
And
fine.
Now I'm even louder. Does that help?
Totally disrespect the tape. No.
Somehow you got lower.
No, turn it down. You're breaking. No.
See, this is what happens. This is what happens. Who do we believe? Who do we listen to? I don't know. We're doing the best we can, okay? I'm sorry. We're doing the best we can. Any other listener feedback, literally?
How much was that microphone?
Wow. So now that we're not on air, I will say that one thing that's been amazing is looking through the archive. After we mentioned the April Fool's show, you know, Rob looked it up, and then I started looking, and it is amazing the time capsule that we have and remembering things that happened. I came on the show, I started on air after the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
We got the station back, and all of a sudden the show was back, and I was on it. And that was really the time that it happened. And then seeing, you know, what was our last show before COVID? And I looked it up. Do you guys remember?
Yeah, it depends what you mean by that, because I know I went in for a show where virtually nobody else, Kyle and I were both there. I don't think anybody else was there.
Right, but the last show with all of us turned out to be when we were talking with guests about, you remember the guys who put together the program where they put together every possible configuration of music?
Oh, yeah.
So they could, like, the copyright protections around music and, like, Sam Smith and Tom Petty and all of that?
Uh-huh.
So it was half about that and half about, wow, guys, this COVID thing sounds really scary. They canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yeah.
And what we figured out also recently is that the last time that we were all together in the studio and Jim was there too. And Kyle helped me put my hair up.
Okay.
I tried to put my hair up with a pen.
Wow.
Which ended up being the last photo we had taken of Jim in the studio, and we shared that when he passed.
Yeah. So it's this amazing, amazing time capsule. And it's been fantastic. I'd also like to mention that our, okay. We have more feedback, not feedback, but more listener commentary that says to my ears, everyone is lower than Gila and Rob, and Gila is slightly lower than Rob, but louder than everyone else.
Okay, well, I
they
can
are
fix
a little
that.
Bit hot.
All yeah. right. Now try talking, Gila.
How am I doing now?
You're much lower. Is that what people want?
But it's probably even.
That's
no, she's
super low now. So,
well, it is low, okay, but I would say it's about being even. You want every single mic to be somewhere in the ballpark of the next one so that it's balanced.
I have them at what we call unity. That's what I'm told is best.
Oh, we're using lingo.
We're using lingo.
We're
going to
get into
it. Or jargon. Can I just ask, people giving feedback, does this apply to the radio part of the show as well, or is it just when we're on YouTube? That's very important, because if it's different, then we know where to look. But if this is how we sound, you know, throughout the radio show as well, then it's on our end. And also, you know, the archive. How does it sound on the archive? You people listening in the future to the archive, let us know.
I will confess, in between shows, I move them down.
Uh-huh.
I put everything down.
Well, that's nice. Thank you for that. That just makes my job a little harder.
I know.
I like a challenge. Thank you very much. Rob, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, now we're being told on YouTube that Gila is harder to hear, and I assume
because I turned her down because someone said she was too loud.
But also, Eugene told us it's just happening on YouTube.
All right.
Which
it's just happening on YouTube, then it's YouTube's problem.
Well, I should point out that our signal to the station after the station gets us from Skype and everything else from Lucy and all the stuff we're using, it then goes through a further compressor before it goes on the air, like everything that gets put out on the air. So.
Yeah, it will be changed when from the virtual studio from one to
so
the other.
So another magic of radio.
Well, we don't benefit from the expertise of WBAI.
No.
We've done the best we can.
We're on the goddamn internet.
For the internet. But the internet is fussy in ways that...
Do you see how the internet gets people aggravated?
The professionalism of a radio station like WBAI is excelling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm angry. Are you angry?
I'm livid. And not only am I livid, I'm sweating because it's 95 degrees in here. So, yeah, I'm fit to be tied right now.
I have a hooded sweatshirt just to be more angry.
I should also point out, we don't have someone named Lucy running around helping us. That's actually software that Rob referred to just now.
Okay.
Thinking that everybody's going to know what he's talking about. You might maybe want to explain who Lucy is?
Our pal Lucy, who never says a thing, but works very hard. We're being told this is just on YouTube, but... this does lead into something else that's great about WBAI. You were mentioning before how it offers a chance for voices from folks who might not otherwise get on the radio in a strictly like commercial sphere. Obviously, the station has been putting us on the air, this program, for all this time, but also just so many voices from the community, voices from underrepresented communities. Black, Indigenous, people of color, the LGBTQ+ community, voices that would not have gotten on the air on a commercial station, and people who would have not gotten on the air on a commercial station. I mean, I started learning audio and broadcast engineering through my involvement with the station. I went on to do that for work, and I do it for this program, and I also do it other places. And it's a great pleasure for me to be able to develop in that skill without having to have gone to school for it. Instead, I just got thrown into the deep end at a radio station that allows people to grow and develop and succeed and share basically these voices, which would not be presented, I think, any other way over the broadcast airwaves in this city. And I will once again tell people to go to give2wbai.org or call 1-212-209-2950 and become a BAI buddy.
We have to be the only show that continues pitching even after they're off the air. That's incredible. Wow. And BAI is not going to know we're doing this because they're not listening to us right now.
Oh, that might not be true. There are people at BAI that enjoy listening to us.
What, you think they're listening to this show on the internet rather than the station that they are currently at?
They can time shift. Yeah, maybe they catch up somehow.
All right. It's possible, I guess.
It's not a requirement.
I don't advise it,
it's
though.
It's not a requirement. Yeah, they have important things to do.
Exactly, yeah. But,
any time of the day, you can donate and choose Off the Hook as your favorite show, and the station will get that message.
That's true. You want to have a lot of people do that. But, you know, Rob, what you were saying about representation and all that, you know, I've seen society change so much over the past decade or two, and I think BAI was in the lead because we've been providing voices for the underrepresented for so long, and now we're starting to see recognition of that in mainstream. Not nearly enough, but definitely more than it was. And I think, you know, if you listen to BAI, you might be listening to the future. You might be listening to how things are represented in days to come, how people are voicing their opinions and telling their stories. I think we're hearing that more in various places.
Oh, that is so incredibly true, especially retrospectively with some of the archives that we've been referencing. But going forward, there's so many things that I've heard here on this first, on off the Hook, but WBAI and on the radio in general that you couldn't get information about in ordinary outlets that you'd pay money for, like a newspaper or traditional, like cable or television, satellite, that kind of stuff. Even satellite radio, I guess, emerges as a place where people spend a lot of time consuming information. But it is totally unique in that way. So I don't know. I lost the train of thought, but I just was so I don't know, so captivated by that sound and I don't know, the accessibility of it.
Mm-hmm. Should we give out the phone number? I guess we should. Add another element to the magic here.
Yeah, I was doing that. I have a phone here. Uh-huh. It's on, but no calls have...
Well, that's because we haven't given out the phone number. And sometimes people wait until the phone number is given out before calling, unlike some other people that don't.
All right, yeah. If someone calls, we'll be able to pick up.
The phone number is 802-321, right? Am I correct? Okay, I'm sorry.
I think the heat's finally getting
to me. The heat is getting to me. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our phone number. You can call us with your opinions, voice, anything you have to say, and we'll listen for a little while anyway before we
do something about satellite, and it just totally...
Uh-huh.
Rob, are you there? How's that air conditioning?
Oh, it's quite nice, actually.
That's wonderful to hear. This room doesn't actually have air conditioning. It has a fan that pumps in the air conditioning, but the fan is very loud. That's why the fan is off right now, and that's why the room is very hot.
Did I mention my respect for audio as a medium and my enthusiasm for putting out the best sound we can over the air that is humanly possible?
No, you didn't. 802-321-4225 is our phone number, and we're just going to wait a little while for a phone call. If we don't get a phone call, we're going to just exchange pleasantries and call it a night and dump water over our heads or something. When is this going to stop, by the way? When is this heat going away? I understand summer is over,
yeah.
Labor Day, you know, all that. The understanding is that's when summer ends, so what the hell?
I mean, my question is, if it's still 90 degrees, does this mean we're still allowed to wear white shoes after Labor Day? Dear Lord, I think it's going to break this weekend.
Ish.
I'm looking forward to Hurricane Lee. I heard that Lee is forming in the Atlantic, and I looked at the path, and it looks like something that could actually make a turn and hit us dead on. And you might say, Emmanuel, why are you wishing for a hurricane? I don't know. I just like to spice it up a bit. You know, I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want anybody to lose their homes or anything like that. But I do like a good storm whipping around, you know, with rain and all kinds of school closures and things like that. So, you know, just a little bit of variety in life. What's wrong with that? Batten down the hatches and all, and I'm sure we'll get through it. But, yeah, Hurricane Lee, that might be something we're talking about in 2 weeks when we're on next. Because it'll be the aftermath of it then, because if it hits us, it'll be between now and then.
Oh, I was talking about the future, man.
Oh, you're trying to remember.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, Tommy Chong, what do you got to say to us?
Oh, wow. All right, we don't have a call, so I guess I can finish before I forget again.
Yeah, the ringing of the bell is going to throw you off for sure.
I'll totally get lost. Yeah.
And we lost him again. Okay.
What were we
doing? No. Sorry. Kyle just basically drifts in and out, and next time he's in
oh,
sync
yeah,
with
you
us.
You hear ideas that you don't hear on other entities. That's what it is.
We did hear that idea, though, because we mentioned that a few times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's true. Gila, it looks like you have something.
Yes. So while the listenership, viewership, the number of people who are joining us live on YouTube right now has grown exponentially since the top of the hour. Everybody's a little quiet tonight. However, Johnny Fusion does very politely point out that to look on the bright side, this is going to be the coldest year going forward. So thanks for that bright thought, Johnny Fusion.
How is this going to be the coldest year going forward? It's been the warmest year on record.
But it's going to continue getting warmer.
So how does that make it the coldest year on record?
It's going to get worse.
Well, you just said this makes it the coldest year on record. Maybe I'm not understanding.
No, just like starting now, this is going to be the coldest year going forward, because it's going to be warmer every year from now. And in 30 years, we're going to look back and think,
oh, because next year,
when it was only 90.
Right. Next year is going to be utter hell. So the fact that we're just in junior hell right now means that it's not so bad. Oh, I like that way of thinking. Yeah, you could pretty much get through anything that way. Wow. That could be like me saying, okay, Trump is the president, but, you know, eventually we're going to get somebody even worse. So this isn't so bad. You know what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. No.
So no one ever said to you, if you kiss a toad first thing in the morning, your day can only get better?
You live a strange life. I know. definitely have not had that thought cross my mind. I'm doing out the New York City phone number. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our phone number. If anyone out there has anything they'd like to share with us, please call now, because we're rapidly losing patience with the oxygen situation here.
Tell us, boast about becoming a buddy, a WBAI buddy. We want to hear about your experience.
Or maybe they're all ashamed that they didn't become a BAI buddy. How about this? Become a BAI buddy, then call us, filled with pride. And yes, light $15, but you know what? You won't feel that, I don't think. I really don't, because, like I said, that's two cups of coffee at Starbucks. Or
you could tell us your BAI story. If you're a listener to BAI, tell us what grabbed you, what pulled you into BAI, what grabbed your interest, what keeps you coming back.
Or why you hate BAI and why you will never pledge a penny to that rotten place. You know, we want to hear that story, too.
Either way, I mean, that's fine, but it's what it takes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a lot of different sorts of models changing around different media organizations. They're changing to more subscriber-based things or testing out new ways to attract people, and it's no different. So we try to be innovative, try to move with the times a little bit. I think we can still take... Does the SMS system still work? I mean, there's so much we've tried over the years, but it's really, really important to support this model, because it's a different way than all the stuff that is ad-based. And I don't know. I've been subscribing to more things that I'm interested in so that they stay around. And I think that is the subtext with our fundraising episode.
You know, and that's a good point, because, like, we're now in a time in sort of the media environment in which people are going back to having to subscribe to each and every little thing separately. You've got your different streaming services. So many independent artists out there are using things like Patreon or other crowdfunded ongoing support platforms to help them develop into some sort of continuing income stream. And here we are. We've been keeping the station on the air for 63 years. Not we specifically. We haven't been here that long. But BAI has been keeping itself on the air for 63 years with just asking for help. And so we continue to do that. And if we can we continue to do that and have it work? We really hope so. We would like it to work. And you can make that happen.
That's true. That's true. But we're not on BAI now. We're on the internet. We're on YouTube. And
YouTube doesn't need your donation.
Don't send them money. They're bastards. No, they are bastards. I'm sorry. But, you know, all the advertising on YouTube really gets me. You know, the ultimate is you have live broadcasts now where they break things up with ads. Like, you know, they have meditation live, you know, or 8-hour videos. Where, you know, you're supposed to be calmed down, you know, get nice and comfortable, and buy this! Yeah, that's what happens. How do you feel, you know? That is what Google is doing. They've broken YouTube completely. I'm sorry, I blasted you out of your headphones just now. It's a dynamic microphone. I was impressed by the sound.
You know,
I'm really sorry about that. Literally fell over.
It's funny, because I was looking. I have a compressor. I just don't know how to hook it up.
Anybody else who's
really
hurt by my outburst,
handy.
Please write us. And
what do you say if I just store this compressor that I haven't hooked up right over your?
Are you threatening
just,
violence? Is
yeah,
that what's
the one
going
with
on here?
The loose screw right over. All right, we do have a call.
I've got a laptop, and I'm not afraid to use it. Do we have a call? Are they on? Are they connected?
Yeah.
Okay, because you're walking out of the room. All right, let's see. Good evening. You are on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel. This is Johnny Hughes, and I felt bad that no one was calling, so I called.
Well, we appreciate your pity, and it's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I ended up in the hospital this week.
Oh, no.
So I'm calling from the hospital room.
Oh, that's terrible. At least you're in a place where you can, you know, get fixed or whatnot.
Yeah. I got a little infection in my blood, and so been on IV antibiotics for a few days.
Okay, well, that'll help.
Yeah, and I'm getting my port removed tomorrow. I have a port in my chest where I used to get medications when I was a lot sicker.
You call it a port?
Need it anymore.
It's called a port?
Port.
Like a USB port?
Well,
it's more like an IV.
Heart.
Okay, all right. But the idea is pretty much the same. Wow.
It's a little piece of cybernetics.
Yeah, you're like a cyborg. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a little technological enhancement, because when I was sick and the progression of my illness, like, it got harder and harder to start IVs. And so we got this so it would be really easy to start IVs, because it's just this little piece of surgical plastic under my skin with a tube that goes to my heart, and just poke a Huber needle through a membrane and I'm hooked up.
Uh-huh.
Easy peasy.
Wow. What they've done in technology and health these days is simply incredible. It really is.
Yeah, but it's gotten infected, and so it needs to come out tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Well, the important thing is that you were able to recognize a problem and you went to the right place and you're getting it dealt with.
Indeed. But, you know, there's a lot of hacking opportunities in the hospital if I was a little more dangerous, like in my youth.
Uh-huh.
Because there's so much tech around. You know, they leave a computer in my room that the nurses and the nurses' assistants use. But I haven't shoulder surfed to catch a password or anything.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure what you would do if you did catch a password, because you're going to hack your own care. It's not a good idea, places like that. It's a good idea to notice the security issues and maybe tell the right people this isn't a good idea, don't do that. But as far as messing around with things, that's one place you definitely don't want to be doing that.
Right, because, like, other stuff is, you know, because there's so much tech in the room, because everything is tech now. Like, a little machine that reads my oxygen levels and temperature and blood pressure, the IV pump, and they're all computerized. So and I've talked to nurses, and some nurses have trouble with the tech portion of the job. Like, they just want to do, you know, help patients, right? But to be a nurse today, you need to have all this skill in tech.
True. Okay, I guess we've all run out of things to say then. Is somebody?
Do you mean like they're taking on too much?
Well, it's just some, like, after my transplant, I had this nerve block, right, and it had this little computer that they had to register the medicine and it would disperse it at a certain rate and stuff like that. You actually had to program this thing, and the nurses were the ones doing the program, and it took two of them because it had opiates, so they had to co-sign. And it was so interesting because one would coach the other, or they'd muddle through and figure it out themselves, because it was fairly complicated. And, you know, just like hacking, some people have an aptitude and some people just are non-technical. And a lot of these nurses, they've been nurses for a long time, and the tech marches on, and they never had this in nursing school, and they have to learn on the job.
Yeah, that's a great point, because ongoing training is something that is so neglected in so many companies and businesses and firms all over the place. But, you know, being prepared on one level, and then new products, new things come through that are really flashy, or they're absorbed and become standard in different institutions that are trying to move ahead and benefit their patients, and they sort of leave no room for people that are on the clock to really absorb what it actually means to use that product.
Yeah, I mean, related, I used to date this teacher, like it was her first year teaching high school, and she would end up in tears with her technical difficulties, because, like, she was a brilliant teacher, was a great writer, but computers just stymied her. It was like 2015 before she got a smartphone. Like, she resisted it for so long, and then because she didn't know anything about smartphones, she got a Windows phone. And, you know, it had no apps. And then she got, I forget, what, either an iPhone or an Android, you know, but if she would volunteer at these places, and they would say, oh, you need this app on your phone. And she's like, I do not have a phone. And then she showed up one time, I have this phone. And they're like, that's the wrong kind of phone. But she would have to do grading and attendance and everything on using computer programs. And it just stymied her, and I had to, even though I wasn't familiar with the specific software, I had to coach her through using tech in the classroom.
It's very interesting. I'm thinking of, like, I know computers, uncomfortable with, you know, computers, smartphones, internet stuff, whatever, but, like, I don't know much about cars. And if I applied for a job where I was taking care of people and, you know, doing medical stuff that I had training for, but in the middle of that job, one day they showed up and said, oh, and by the way, you have to know how to put a car up on a lift and change the oil, I would be pretty stymied too. And, yeah, the way technology has become such a part of our lives and also a part of our medical care in cases like yours, and in cases where people have implanted devices that themselves have, like, some kind of smart functionality. We've had people come to the Hope Conference and give talks on things like this and medical technology and the security issues inherent in even having things like this, and how much that's not even considered by, like, so many of the people who depend on them or who use them in their work or in their lives. So, you know, you having a port that needs maintenance, you know, port security is very important. Any IT person will tell you that. And you don't want to end up leaving a port open that will lead to some sort of vulnerability. But we're glad that you're there and that you're able to get hold of the care you need to take care of this for you.
Yeah, I mean, and I was doing so well last week when I called, you know. And
yeah, you sounded great.
Doing well, but it just took one little, like, being around one person who had a cold, and it just snowballed.
It's not always the way it is.
My immune system is so suppressed.
Yeah. But, you know, good that you're getting what you need to get taken care of, and can continue, I don't know, kicking ass and taking names. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be recovered in no time. It's a very minor surgery. It was a very minor surgery to have it installed. You know?
Uh-huh.
Implanted, I guess. But, so I don't expect surgery will take long. And a couple days of more IV antibiotics and be right as rain.
Very cool. Do you think
in two weeks
you should be okay, right?
Yeah. Are you off next week?
We're off next week. Otherwise, we'd say call next week. But in 2 weeks, call us, and I'm sure it'll be much better.
Yeah, I missed the 2600 meeting this past Friday because I was too sick and I ended up in the ER.
Uh-huh.
I really wanted to go, but it wasn't in the cards. So maybe next month.
Yeah, fortunately, we have them. We have them every month. Yeah, it's San Francisco, the one that you would go to?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's right off of BART stop. That's really easy to get to because I live right near BART,
uh-huh.
near BART station. I don't even have to change trains or anything. I take the yellow line all the way to Embarcadero and then walk a couple of blocks.
Yeah, mass transit is amazing. I wish there were more of it.
I agree. But, you know, Henry Ford...
Okay, but you know what? Henry Ford has been dead a long time. It's about time we moved on.
I agree, but, I mean, our country is engineered around automobiles. That's the technology that we literally engineered our cities and lands and transport systems around. And, like, I used to live in Amsterdam. That's not a car city. It's car hustle.
That's a bike know? City, yeah. It's a,
yeah. Yeah, if you want to get anywhere, you uh-huh. go on a bike.
And there's definitely moves in New York to do more of that, you know, to have the congestion charge like they have in London. This is something you'll see more of. People will complain, of course, but... hey, you know what? We're complaining right now. We're complaining about air pollution. We're complaining about hazardous ways of getting around the city for pedestrians and bicyclists. It's time that our complaints are heard and that the planet is brought into a more healthy place.
Yeah, it's basically the world against the capitalists. I mean, do they want to continue burning fossil fuels because they have all this money invested in fossil fuels? Or are we going to take our planet back? I mean, this is a global problem that capitalism created and is continuing.
Very true. Very true. All right, listen, you become healthier, and be observant in the hospital there, and you know. Tell us about the technology without messing with the technology.
Right.
All right.
It was good talking to you.
All right, you too. Get well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. Sorry, guys, I had to turn you off because your fan was so damn loud.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think maybe we can turn it off for a little
bit. Well, you can just mute yourselves when you're not talking. That would work.
We will get better about that.
Have a mute button, so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I turned you off too, Kyle.
What is with everybody?
I'm turning everybody off.
Well, what am I?
I turn myself off.
I'm trying to participate.
The phone is ringing. Is anybody going to pick that up?
I didn't abuse my microphone. Yeah, it's ringing. You want me to pick it up?
No, I want you to rip it off the wall.
No, this is off the hook.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Good. I like to establish my position first and just say, okay. cactus. But I've been kind of going insane with the modern world of technology as it once was, or as it is now. The usual cliches, very Orwellian, what have you. And it's remarkable how you own nothing, yet all the devices you own, supposedly, all this on you nonstop, and it's more than just your phone, which is a terrifying thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like the last advanced thing I did was build a red box, so it's been a minute since I've been in the game, as it were.
Red boxes, oh, that brings back memories.
Red boxes, blue boxes, you know, the good stuff.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So it's been a while since I've been relevant, and I don't understand how any of this became what it is. And it's kind of maddening on a grand scale.
Yeah, I hear
and
that.
And the fact that if you see...
No, I hear what you're saying. It's definitely maddening.
Yeah, I just... it'd be kind of nice to own the stuff that I, you know, purchase, but you don't anymore. It's all rented and leased.
Everything is, yeah, it's a lease. It's like you're agreeing to, you know, the software, which changes, or you have to pay a monthly fee. It's insane. And people have been warning about this for quite some time, and we seem to be in the place now where it becomes a reality, and it's really hard to actually buy physical media or physical hardware even sometimes.
Well, like, physical media exists in the fact that it's physical, but even when you, like this video games, for example, cool, you can buy a video game all you want on disc, but there's only 2 gigs of information on the disc for a 98-gig game, so.
Yeah, so you need the internet. You need the internet. Well, you know, what I like to do is tell people, I don't have internet access. You know, I live in a place where I have no access whatsoever. What do I do? How do you help me? And either they have to admit that it's completely useless, their product is completely useless without a net connection, or there's some other alternative.
Oh, absolutely. And then, one of the things that I, because I only recently, within the last 2 years, fell into the Windows 10 hellhole, as it were.
Yes.
And I'm one kicking and screaming from Windows 7 to Windows 7. Like, fine, I'm forced to update this.
You know,
I
understand exactly what you're saying, because Windows 7 did not constantly reboot like Windows 10 does. Is that one of your complaints?
Oh, no, actually not at all. Like, I believe it or not, I don't care about the rebooting. It doesn't happen very often. But what drives me insane is that I have devices that I need very specific drivers for. And for whatever reason, Windows is not happy with that. Oh, well, your drivers are 6 years out of date. I'm going to update them no matter what you tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone over Windows 10 at least 6 or 7 times to try and turn off auto updates. And you can't turn off the auto update no matter how much you try.
I know. That's part of the complaint. They auto update. They know better than you. You're just a consumer.
It's like, hey, yeah, that hardware you bought, even though, like, it's a capture card. And unfortunately for me, I capture retro consoles, which requires a 240p signal. And 240p is out of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not kosher, as it were. And the capture card I have, even though it can capture a 240p signal, it only does it with a certain driver version.
Uh-huh.
But Windows will force the latest driver version every single time,
yep.
No matter what I do.
And that'll break something else, and it never ends. You know, I have a lot of respect for people who continue to run older systems. If they're able to keep them running themselves, they shouldn't be forced into upgrades they don't want or need. I think we need to become less disposable as far as always throwing out our phone when a new version comes out and getting something new. Sometimes something old is better, you know. Sometimes it suits you better to constantly be told, you have to do this, you have to do that. New software, okay, the new software only runs on new hardware, and now you need new hardware. With that new hardware, hey, there's even newer software. It's just you're caught in this spiral of planned obsolescence.
I am referred to as a dinosaur. I still have a CRT. I believe in the glory of the 4:3 resolution. I have a modern TV, and
uh-huh.
I hate it with every ounce of my being.
Uh-huh. Do you miss analog TV signals as well? Because I do.
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, you're in the right place, because we all understand what you're saying.
So I have all this quote-unquote ancient technology. I'm like, yeah, cool, this TV may be 25 years old, but this TV will outlive me and outlive you.
That's right. That's right.
Well, my modern TV, I've had it taken apart 2 or 3 times to fix minor issues that popped up. And I'm like, I paid $500 for this thing, and I'm repairing it every other year. What the hell?
I have an old TV. You know the TV I'm talking about, Kyle. It's a you know, small TV. My grandmother used to have it. 1986, I think, is where it's from, or maybe the early 80s even. It still works to this day. The only problem is there's no TV stations anymore. It outlived TV. My TV set outlived analog TV, so it's kind of useless, but it still works.
Oh, yeah, I have a small portable handheld TV, you know, back in the day when that was the greatest thing in the world, and I still think they're relatively cool.
Uh-huh.
And if I want to, I can jerry-rig my Nintendo, my original NES, so it'll broadcast, and I can pick that up on the little handheld TV.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. That's very cool. Whatever you do, don't throw out any of this stuff, because it's all pretty awesome to have.
Oh, yeah.
And there's more and more, like, support for repairing stuff. I think that you're absolutely right. Like, the guilt is due, I think, on some of the providers of the software and hardware, because they're building in the costs that are essentially their problems that they're making you pay for them over the lifetime of the product. I know exactly what you're talking about with flat screens, like power supplies. Things go, and there's no parts to repair it. They'll just consider it disposable. It's not worth the time because it's the life cycle is so short. So doing like board level repairs is just unheard of. Everyone thinks you're insane.
And that's the thing. You know, I saw a forum recently where somebody was complaining about this very thing, where they wanted to hold on to Windows 7 and not be forced to upgrade to Windows 10. And they were asking a particular question as to how they could make something else work without being forced to do that. Did they get any help? No, they got universally shamed. Why do you want to run Windows 7? Don't you know that by running Windows 7, you're going to be opening yourself up to all kinds of security holes? And nobody took their request seriously. Nobody was helpful. They just were shaming.
Yeah, that.
And the irony is that in many cases, an older operating system is more secure than something brand new that everybody's using, and that the security holes have not all been found yet. That might be a problem, but you know what? Let the person make the decision for themselves.
That's a very big issue. Because I am massive on the right to repair. I think it's asinine and insulting that I'll spend $2,000 on a phone. I'm like, oh, the screen cracked. It looks like I got to spend another $2,000 instead of, you know, $50 for a new screen.
Right, right. Your phone costs $2,000? Wow. That must be a good phone.
Oh, God, no. I this phone, the phone I'm talking, it's like $120 I think I spent.
I
am relatively broke. So.
Well, you know, we still use rotary dial phones, literally to talk to people sometimes, because they sound good. You know, they're from the 1950s, but they really sound good.
Hey, it's a pair of twisted copper geese through our life.
That's true. Rob, you got something? Go ahead.
Yeah, talking about those old TVs, those old CRT TVs, Johnny Fusion points out in the YouTube chat that people still use them for retro gaming, for using those old Nintendos and other things, because you can hook them up to an LCD flat panel, but there are subtle differences. Not only does everything look different, but because the things were meant, the graphics were created to look their best on a CRT television. But there are timing issues in things like competitive gaming. The game Smash Brothers in particular, like, it makes a huge difference if you're on a genuine TV of the time versus the modern equivalent. Also, like, those things are so coveted because CRTs, no one's making those picture tubes anymore. There's a finite amount in the world, and, you know, more blow out every day. So, yes, if you've got an old TV somewhere, don't get rid of it, because if it works, there is, you know, there are things you can do with it, or there is probably someone who would very much like to buy it from you somewhere. And the fact that talking about the magic of radio again, you know, you could still turn on a radio from 1960 that was receiving the original WBAI signal from when it first went on the air, and it will still tune us in today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there are people who want to change that. They want to, you know, change the radio frequencies, or there's a move to get rid of AM radio now, you know, not have it in cars. You know why? Because electric cars interfere with the radio. Well, you know, that means you haven't quite developed electric cars to the point where they're compatible with things that we need, AM radio being one of them.
It's remarkable how quick everybody is, oh, throw it all out. I'm like, stop, hold on. I have stuff from the 80s that still works better than most, you know, things built today.
Uh-huh.
And all I got to do is, you know, go in, replace a few capacitors, and it's just like brand new.
That's right. That's right.
And I don't understand why or when everybody decided to, let's just throw away by new. Because my living basically comes from getting broken game consoles, taking the 2 or 3 hours to get them up and running again, and selling them.
Wow. Okay. There's a demand for that.
And everybody's like, oh, even this PS2 doesn't work. And I'm like, I'll buy it up for $10. And then, you know, $15 and 2 hours later, running just like new.
Uh-huh. And then you're able to sell it.
But, yeah, yeah. But it, even during the days of the PS2 when it was new, Sony was very much, if you repair this, we're going to slap you in the mouth because how dare you. Because every company now really enjoys ignoring the Magnus and Malsack for whatever reason. I guess if you have more money than God, what would the laws matter to you, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's how they act. It's
yeah, I mean, oh cool. You find them $105 million. That's nice. They made $22 billion. I don't think they noticed.
No, definitely not. Wow. Okay, well, this has been illuminating. Anything else before we go?
Yeah, maintain your VHS tapes and keep your DVDs nice and clean.
good advice. I have a huge VHS collection. I've digitized it so I can look at it, but I'm keeping the tapes.
Perfect.
All right, thanks for your call.
It was a pleasure.
Hi, take care. What a great call. Wow. That's pretty awesome and speaks to a lot that we talk about in a very elegant way.
Yeah, so many things that I could just delve into. It's just a conversation, but it's an important one on so many levels. So I'm happy to hear about what that caller was moved by and what gets them excited.
You're made to feel like you're crazy, you know, like just don't get it. If you want to hold on to something that's old or keep doing things, you know, the way you've always done them, sure, be open to new things, but don't throw out the old things. You know, maybe you're using a word processor that's 20 years old. You know, maybe it works better for you. Maybe you're comfortable with it. Maybe it's compatible with all the files you've made and something else wouldn't be. So let's support that person instead of shaming them into moving into something they're not that comfortable with.
I think it's especially sinister when you're putting the blame on entities you have no idea how they operate. You don't know what kinds of things that machine is responsible for. And because of the design life cycle of the software, they want people to – they want to kind of force this on the consumer that it may be their whole business that gets ruined or they have to needlessly or in an unexpected way redo an entire process or and hope that, you know, everything works out as far as sales or their just ability to adapt. That is a terrible cost, and it's all part of the conversation, whatever avenue we take. And I mean, there are benefits, like there are not benefits but just weird things that we take for granted, like, yeah, there's $100 phones. I have a $100 phone I never use, I just got. I mean, I think a lot of people also see the economies, like the scale and the way that produces just an abundance of stuff, but herein, we're talking about stuff that we can't repair, we can't truly own because it's locked down by, intellectual property and mm-hmm. all sorts of licenses, yet we're going to trust all of our data, we're going to put all of our communications, everything about our lives, and if we want it, like, a certified repair, it's going to cost double what we paid for in the first place, and you can't live without it, you know, I mean, give up. That's the deal that we're supposed to love.
It feels like a lot of people have given up and that they're just basically succumbing to, this need to always have the latest. And if you don't have the latest, then there's something wrong with you and you're vulnerable and you have to keep up and throw out the old stuff. And, it's insecurity, and I don't think it's very wise.
No, it really damages people's regular operations, their regular lives, and so much that they originally were counting on being there for them when they put their trust in whatever mega company or entity that is, you know, taking control over their books and all the sort of ways they interact with technology. We got to keep talking about it. So please update us. Share what you see out there.
Rob Gila, anything else? I think we're going to close it up in a bit because we're about to hit 100 degrees in here.
We turned off our fan and we turned off our AC rather, and it's rapidly rising in here too. So I think this would be a good note to end it all on. Right to repair is important. You know, old stuff isn't bad just because it's old, and we can keep tinkering with the things we want to tinker with, and no one should be able to tell us we can't.
That's right.
And question the kinds of the ways you're being encouraged to use products and so forth, and beware the conspicuous consumption, because that's driving a lot of these entities as well.
Good words to end on. Write to us, oth@2600.com. If you forgot to become a BAI buddy, despite our many pleas, you still can do so. Give to WBAI.org, give the number to WBAI.org, and become a BAI buddy. $15 a month or more, and you'll be doing amazing things for a radio station that is truly unique and so valuable. We will see you again in 2 weeks. Until then, stay cool and let us know if you see any interesting technology or abuses of privacy or the other various things we always are interested in.
And use the telephone a little more.
Yeah, call somebody.
Yeah, give a call.
I mean, you can call somebody at random, I guess, but call somebody you know. They'll be surprised, but maybe you'll have a conversation. Who knows? That's what phones are for. All right. Good night, everyone.